It is 1:32. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We're breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard the governor say that the state had an additional 288 cases of the coronavirus, bringing the total number of people who have ever tested positive to 10,368. We also heard an additional 4 Arkansans have died from COVID-19, the total there being 165 deaths due to that disease since the pandemic began. We also heard a total of 181 people are currently hospitalized with that disease. And currently, at least as of yesterday, the state had 3,087 active cases of COVID-19 among people who have not recovered yet from that disease. And now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking from the state capitol. You are listening to KYR News.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Eddie. Today's June 11th and our daily COVID-19 update. I wanted to first recognize Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Health. We also have Dr. Romero also as our coming in the back door there, Dr. Romero, glad to have him join us today with the Department of Health. And then, of course, Dr. Ivy Pfeffer, Deputy Director of our Department of Education. We want to be able to talk just for a moment about school next year, which has been a topic of conversation among parents, obviously, as well as the Department of Education and Secretary Key working hard on this. First, let's do the case report. Yesterday, we had 10,368 cases. We have an additional 448 cases over the last 24 hours. That brings our total to 10,816 cases cumulative of COVID-19 in Arkansas. In terms of hospitalizations, we have now 187 Arkansans that are hospitalized. That is an addition of 6 that have been hospitalized. In terms of death, we also have an additional 6 deaths, which brings us to 171 Arkansans who have died as a result of COVID-19. In terms of our testing, we have tested we've tested 4,914, which is meeting our objectives for expanding testing across Arkansas, particularly in the challenged areas of our state. When you look at the 448 new cases, the top 3 counties are Washington, Benton, and Pulaski. Washington County had 143 of the cases. Benton County had 78, and Pulaski County had 37, and the rest of the counties were less than 20. In Washington, it is of note that 93% of the cases in Washington County were in Springdale. And so that's something, obviously, that is important to know. And I'm pleased that Dr. Smith has solicited the help of the CDC, which should have a team coming in to assist us with the Latino population and communicating with them as to what can be done to reduce the spread. Let's go through the graphs, which again show that the 448 new cases ranks right at the top, not at the highest, but at near the top for cases in any singular day. The next slide shows the continuing graph of the 7-day rolling average in orange, and you can see that we're still going up there. And then if you go to the number of active cases, which is important, and wherever we had 10,816 cumulative cases, we have 3,300 in round numbers active cases in Arkansas, and we continue to watch that. But whenever you hear 10,000 cases, you think that's how many we have, but it's actually cumulative, and those are the active cases. The hospitalizations, 187 hospitalizations, and I will note that I wanted to assure that we've checked the hospital capacity in Northwest Arkansas. It is sufficient. We continue to watch that, and also the PPE. I They have adequate PPE as well, and so they're prepared to deal with this uptick that they have, but we'll continue to watch it to make sure that they have the supplies and support that they need. And then if you go to the next one, it goes into our positive test results. And as I've noted before, the test result for today is less than 5%, but that will be upgraded. And so I'm mindful of that as more data comes in. I'm sorry, did I get that wrong? This has already been, all of these have been updated.
The most recent day is the one that's most likely to change.
So I was right the first time. So the first one, under 5%, it will likely change, but the rest are still under 10%. And we'll watch that. That's really a good success story for us that we've been able to test so much and still maintain that level of low level of positivity. And the next slide is the cumulative total, just to show you how we're doing on our goal. As you remember, last month we set the goal of 60,000. We're already here on June 11th at 45,000. Our new goal is 120,000, and we're on target to meet that. And so we're continuing to expand our testing. And with that, I want to recognize Dr. Smith for his comments, and I'll come back for a moment on education.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith. This is KYR 89.1.
Thank you, Governor. In terms of a few more details on the numbers, of our 448 new cases, four of them are in correctional facilities, so 444 are community cases. Of our 10,816 total cases, 3,294 are active. Of those, 140 are in nursing homes, 199 are in correctional facilities, so we have 2,955 active cases in the community. We have had, since yesterday, an additional 9 nursing home residents have tested positive, so we're at 502 total for nursing home residents, and we've had an additional 9 nursing home staff, so we're at 335 total nursing home staff who have been infected. The governor's already mentioned our hospitalizations, 187, net gain of 6 from yesterday. We have 45 who are currently on a ventilator. That's down 4 from yesterday. And we've had 6 additional deaths for a total of 171. We have 7,351 who have recovered. That's up 235 from yesterday. The governor's mentioned our testing numbers. We're actually about 1,000 ahead of target in reaching our goal of 120,000 for the month. The top counties where these new cases are coming from, the governor's already mentioned Washington, Benton, and Pulaski counties. We've also had 13 cases in Carroll County, 12 in Faulkner County, and 10 in Crittenden County, and 10 in Pope County. All the rest are fewer than 10. Question is, where are these cases, especially these large numbers in relatively large numbers in Washington County, Benton County, where are they coming from? In Washington County, where our largest single county for yesterday's cases, 93% of those cases are coming from Springdale. As has been the pattern, a number of them have been from the Latino community. We have household clustering, which means we've got transmission occurring in households. That's not surprising. If one household member becomes infected, then it's very easy for COVID-19 to spread to other members of that household. We have clustering within communities, so we have households in the same neighborhoods who are being affected as well. And of course, as we've noted before, we do have some clusters associated with workplaces, particularly poultry-related businesses. The CDC team will be arriving tomorrow. Their goal is to help us to better understand the dynamics of transmission in the northwest part of the state, particularly in Washington and Benton counties, helping to understand this interplay between transmission in the home, in the community, and in the workplace. And we are hoping that those insights will better enable us to break those cycles of transmission. They will also be helping us to more effectively learn how to better, more effectively reach out to our Latino community with messages that will help them to protect themselves and others from COVID-19 and to interrupt those chains of transmission. And so we're looking forward to partnering with them on that, and we'll continue doing all the things that we're doing that we know are effective, have been effective in other states, but hopefully we'll gain some new insights that are specific to our situation here in Arkansas through that. With that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, and I was on a call today with the business community in Northwest Arkansas, and of course we talked about the rise in the number of cases there and renewed the commitment to make sure that we do what we can to take it seriously, to make sure that we use the protective measures and for businesses to set the right example in that regard to protect their employees but also to protect the public. And the social distancing and the importance of wearing a mask. And so I know that they are committed to that. And I know the healthcare workers there that I want to applaud that are on the front lines, they are doing extraordinary work. When it comes to education, as I've said before, and we want to just emphasize today, that our plans are to go back to school next year in the school year in a regular classroom fashion, supplemented by online learning as needed. And Secretary Key is working very hard with local community leaders and superintendents to develop the specific plans. Dr. Ivy Pfeffer has been a key part of that, and I ask her to come here today. As she does, I want to set this up. It's Arkansas Ready for Learning, and then you go to the next slide is some of the preparatory plans that explains Arkansas Ready for Learning, which is returning to on-site instruction in August, flexibility in learning, and help them to be prepared for it now. And part of it is really educating the teachers, parents, and students in this planning process. And so, Dr. Pfeffer, if you could come and elaborate on this, and I'll leave that slide up there for you.
This is Dr. Ivy Pfeffer, Deputy Director at the Arkansas Department of Education.
Hey, thank you, Governor. The events of the past few months really have reminded us that we can't always control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond. And it's really been amazing to see the response and the resiliency of all of our educators statewide as they really stepped up to make sure our students' needs were met. We've learned a great deal, and now it's time for us to move forward with planning. And planning for the future is different than responding to a crisis. We are focusing on what we have learned, and we are using that to help us be better prepared so that teaching and learning can continue and be more adaptable to meet student needs. Just as the governor has led the state to be Arkansas ready, we want to help support schools to be ready for learning. So what is Arkansas Ready for Learning? It's a plan for the return to on-site instruction in August. And we believe that this is an achievable goal, especially if plans allow flexibility for learning options in case interruptions occur. Arkansas Ready for Learning is also support for school districts as they prepare for the start of the new school year and return to on-site instruction in a manner that's consistent with guidelines. It's also an important opportunity for teachers, parents, students, and the community to engage in the planning with school districts. And this is going to be critical to ensure that student needs are met. The ADE released a planning for re-engagement document last week. And this is intended to help guide districts through their considerations to promote a safe return to on-site instruction. Districts are strongly encouraged to create local Ready for Learning committees and to bring these committees together in planning to meet the needs of students and to keep the planning for the safest return possible. Safety measures will include good hand hygiene, cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched surfaces, screening adults and visitors, encouraging the use of face coverings, maintaining physical distance to the extent possible, and encouraging people to stay home when they are sick. We know that all of these measures taken cumulatively increase the protection and limit potential exposure. Districts are also working with their local education cooperatives to purchase PPE. Being ready for learning and communicating the plans is a critical component to ensure that parents, teachers, and students have confidence in the return to on-site learning. So how are districts preparing? They're preparing by focusing on each system of school operations as they plan. The Planning and Re-engagement Guide includes considerations for each system, and this is intended to help districts make decisions about what school looks like at the local level. In some cases, parents have indicated that they need or want options that allow for continued off-site instruction, and districts are working with the department to obtain the needed resources for that flexibility. While we acknowledge that there are still many unanswered questions, we will continue to have regular interactions with school district officials and seek opportunities for community feedback. We believe that all students can learn anytime, anywhere, as long as the appropriate supports are provided. And this is the overarching belief that really should guide all of the decisions going forward. During the next school year, it may be necessary to pivot quickly from on-site to off-site remote learning. The state will provide guidance, resources, and directives when necessary, but ultimately what school looks like is going to be guided by each local school district working with their local community. And I want to encourage my school district colleagues to reach out to their communities and invite them to be a partner in this process.
Thank you, Ivy. And with that, we'll take any questions.
What do you say in response to what the Washington County Hospital sort of put out there, that they're seeing this as a crisis up there, and the fact that there's more cases, not because there's necessarily more testing, but the fact that there's just more cases?
I read the letter, and I thought it was a very thoughtful letter and a well-timed letter. Then they're absolutely right that whenever you see an increase in hospitalization, that is not simply the fact that we have more cases, it's the fact that more people are sick from COVID-19 and need hospitalization. And so that's a very real statistic. And the reason I said I thought the timing was good is that while we statewide went into phase two, lifted some restrictions, that reminder and that letter is an emphasis, an exclamation point to all of us that this has serious consequences. We have to take it seriously and follow these public health guidelines. So I am grateful for the letter, and I think it was a good message.
Does it give you any pause about potentially moving forward or getting into phase two?
No, we made the right decision, and regardless of what we see in the next week, we made the right decision to go ahead and lift some of these restrictions so that we don't cause more damage to people's lives and their livelihood. But the only worry that I have is that we have to make sure the message is consistent, that even though we are opening up, we're expanding our economy, that does not diminish the seriousness of this virus. And so that has to be communicated simultaneously. We've tried to do that at every step, but sometimes people hear what they want to hear. And so sometimes they say, well, this doesn't impact me. It looks like we're going back to business, but it's not something that you take lightly, and we have to constantly remind people this is going to be with us into next year, whether we're talking about school, we're talking about sports, or we're talking about business and livelihood. Yes?
There's a survey from Talk Business and Hendricks College, and 32% of the people responding thought you were lifting restrictions too quickly. What would you say to those people?
Well, I would say to those people, I think we all have a different, I get whether we open it up too quick or we open it up too slow, I get a lot of different measurements there. What's the key thing is that we follow the data and the science and our public health advisors that give us counsel on what we should do. And they, my message to those that think we're opening up too quickly is, please be assured we're trying to be careful. We're taking this seriously, and we're not diminishing that. And we want to encourage people, if they have a vulnerable population or they're worried, make a consumer choice. You know, send somebody else to the groceries, or don't go out into the environment. And so we want to provide information to people so they can make good decisions. And we've been into this now for 3 months. It's different than the first month. The first month, we had more strict guidelines. And now they have more information in the public, so we're counting on people to make good decisions and judgments. If they don't, there's a consequence for it.
Is there something we're just... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right here.
In terms of the education plan, are there any requirements that schools have to follow, similar to what other businesses have to do? And how risky an environment is a school in terms of the potential to, like, spread the virus?
All right, so I'm going to let both my experts here talk to on that issue, and let's start with Dr. Smith, and then let's come back with Ivy.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Well, certainly opening up the schools while we have ongoing COVID-19 transmission is going to be a challenge. We've never really faced that before. This is a new virus. We closed our schools down appropriately, but we are gaining experience with this virus, learning more particularly about how it is spread among children, how maybe it's not spread among children. We'll have some experience this summer from our summer camps, both our day camps and our overnight camps, and we will be implementing the latest science when it comes time to fine-tuning those plans. But I think that the plan that the Department of Education has laid out is something that provides reasonable safety for children and allows for on-site education based on what we know right now.
This is Dr. Ivy Pfeffer, Deputy Director at the State Department of Education.
And from a school aspect, we expect that when schools open, the most recent health guidance will be applied to school district operations. And if you look at right now, we have done some limited on-site reopening this summer. And those current guidelines are in line with what we did have in place with phase one. We know that the more cautious we are right now as we start re-engaging on site, that puts us in a better position to be able to open schools in the fall with fewer restrictions. So we want people to continue to be mindful of that. So I think the important thing will be just to continue to monitor the situation, follow the health and safety protocols, and continue with that planning so that we can mitigate any risks for students and staff.
And I would emphasize that this is a work in progress that's being coordinated between the Department of Education and the Department of Health, working closely together as they develop the plans for reopening school next year. And we're going to learn, as Dr. Smith has pointed out, from our experience this summer with day camps, with children being together in different activities. And I think that will help teach us as to how, you know, what we can do next year. Obviously, social distancing, if you want to use that word, within the classroom space, making sure that they're not too crowded, but that we can have the in-classroom instruction. And those are the kind of details they're working on now. Jake.
Is there something we're just missing with communicating to the Latino community? Because it seems like that's been a message for 2 weeks. We're trying to communicate to them, but is there just something we're missing with that population? And then two, I guess, what are some of the numbers within that community?
I'll let Dr. Smith add on the numbers particularly, but of course, Dr. Smith and I both went to Northwest Arkansas last week. We met with the Latino community. We listened to some of their leaders as to what more can be done. And so we're putting everything in Spanish language for their benefit. We've enhanced our advertising, our public service announcements to that community. We're trying to mobilize the community itself to understand and be engaged in this. And so those are the steps that we have taken. That's one of the things we want the CDC to help guide us with. They're bringing in some Spanish language speakers to see what we're missing here, and we'll continue to work on that. Dr. Smith?
And Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith again.
Yes, I agree with what the governor says. Remember, I think we are getting messaging out, and it's being received. Once you have active transmission in a community, though, it takes a while before you can pull that back. There are folks who have already been infected, who are incubating, once one member of a household becomes infected, it can be really challenging to limit spread there. But I think what we are doing, we should be able to see the impact as we go along. In terms of numbers for the Latino community, our most recent active case report was on the 8th on Monday, and at that time we had 29% of our active cases in the state were from the Latino community. Our most recent hospitalized case breakdown was from Tuesday, and at that time we had 24% of our hospitalized patients were from the Latino community.
Where are the cases from Pulaski County coming from?
Dr. Smith, Pulaski County.
I don't have a breakdown from today's yet. We did see a drop. It was 51 yesterday, new cases, and 37 today. Over the last week, we've had those cases coming from a variety of places. Yesterday, it was primarily from Little Rock. A couple days before, it was from Jacksonville. So we'll have to do more detailed analysis on these 37.
Is there a question remotely?
Yes, Governor. This is Chelsea Helms with KNWA, Fox 24 in Fayetteville. I have two questions for you, if you would. The first being, I'm wondering why you ultimately decided to move forward with phase two as a state, as opposed to doing that regional approach you had discussed in the past, especially when you and the doctor keep talking about several different epidemics across the state. And then my second question, maybe this one would be more for Dr. Smith. You guys keep talking about a second wave in Northwest Arkansas, but do you think it's possible that we're still in our first wave and we just hadn't seen so many cases because early on when we had less cases in Northwest Arkansas, we had closed down as a state?
Thank you. And the answer on the first part of the question, I, of course, explained the rationale yesterday as I made that announcement. But, if you start operating as a region, then you're locking yourselves into a position that's hard to move from. And so if we would have, for example, excluded Benton and Washington County and said they can't move to phase two yet, then all of a sudden the wave goes down to Sebastian and Crawford County. You can't roll them back. And all of a sudden you've got two areas that are both having an uptick in cases, but you've got them in different phases and different restrictions. And so part of it is a fairness, but part of it is really the right message is that we have got to learn to manage the risk of this virus, and that is living and working, but being careful as you do it. And so that to me is the overriding message for the future, whether you go to phase two now or whether you go to phase two a month from now, you're still gonna have different, the fear of the virus or the risk of the virus that you have to deal with. And so that's why we made the decision that it's best to have our state move together. And I think that was wise, and I think that we can manage the risk with the limit, raising the restrictions that we've had in place.
And Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
I would just add to that that the reason why I advised the governor that I thought that it was very reasonable to move to phase two as a state is that we had already moved to phase two in many areas, and the areas that were remaining, the restrictions that we were talking about relaxing were not in areas where we were seeing active transmission. And so there was really no compelling reason to continue to have those restrictions in place despite the increasing number of cases for our state. There are obviously things that we need to do to try and control the spread of COVID-19, but those restrictions that changed, that will change on Monday, have not been associated with transmission that we've been able to detect.
Did you cover the, what was the second part of that? Maybe you covered it. Okay. another question remotely. I can hear you fine, Mr. Cannon. Let's take Mr. Cannon first.
Okay. Governor, real quick, just back to North Arkansas, since we're seeing the surge in our hospital, we're having a little trouble getting specific numbers from our hospitals as to the amount of cases in each hospital. Are you getting those daily numbers? And also, you know, how many of these cases are on ventilators total?
I can't give you the specific numbers, Craig, right now, but I actually spoke to both hospitals within the last one today and yesterday as well, and they have adequate hospital space. We continue to watch that. And when we say adequate hospital space, that is both for treating the COVID-19 patients, but it's also for doing the elective surgeries and the other things that hospitals normally do. And so they have sufficient capacity, and we actually have reviewed some of those numbers and know the adequacy of that space. In terms of the second part of your question, Craig.
I'm sorry, Governor, I got muted.
All right. All right. I couldn't understand that. Oh, yes, thank you. The ventilator numbers. Dr. Smith, do you, I mean, we know the ventilator numbers statewide in terms of each hospital. We can get that broken down. I don't know whether there's any sensitivity to it, but we do have that data and we do follow that. Dr. Smith, did you want to add to that?
We have those. Give those for individual hospitals.
We don't break it down by individual hospitals, I think for obvious reasons. And they use ventilators for non-COVID patients as well. And so they manage that. If they need additional capacity, they have the surge capability, and we certainly have the capability to add to any needs that they have. There was a lady, I think, also remotely that wanted to ask a question. All right.
First, I'm wondering if you could share with us the percentage of new cases over the past week that have been successfully contacted by the contact tracing team.
The percentage of new cases that have been successfully been contacted, or the new contact, the contacts identified who have been contacted. I don't have the breakdown for today's cases. As we go out, that percentage increases. So today's cases, it's likely not all of them have been contacted yet, but if you go back a week, the vast majority of them would have been contacted. But so I'd love to respond to that request, but maybe offline we can get more narrow definition of what you mean by recent, and you know, usually we look at 5 days out. By 5 days, then we see what proportion have been contacted, and that's our quality metric. I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't quite hear you.
Oh, sure. Sorry about that. So when you're giving the breakdown of contact tracing, in the past you said, say, 2% of the people have went to bars. Are you including all of the people that have come into contact with those people who have been to a bar? And if not, why are we not?
When we contact a new case, we ask them a series of questions, and we've included in those questions whether they've had contact with some of these settings that we've had restrictions on, so we can monitor whether those could be sources of those new cases. And so if someone is tested positive, when we contact them, we ask them, have you been to a restaurant in the past 14 days? Have you been to a bar in the past 14 days? We go through the list. And that's how we gather that information. Now, we also gather information on their contacts, and then we talk to their contacts. Now, those contacts are not cases. We do ask that they go get tested, that they quarantine for 14 days. If they develop symptoms, we would ask them to be tested again. If they become a case, then we will ask them that series of questions as well.
Is there just one or two more questions?
Favorite topic, a special session?
Those discussions are ongoing, still waiting for additional information, so no decision has been made.
A lot of legislators going to be in town next week.
There's not any time frame that I've set, and I don't have any plans to call a session next week, but we'll see how it develops. Yes?
Governor, do you have a threshold hospitalizations or deaths that would make you take a pause and pulling back the restrictions to maybe put into perspective for those that think you're opening up too fast?
You know, I think the question is, say we go up another certain number in hospitalizations that worries everybody, obviously. The question is, what action can you take to reduce the number of cases and reduce the number of hospitalizations? And if there is a correlation under the data between the restrictions that we've put into place and hospitalizations, then, or in new cases, then obviously we're going to examine that. But there has to be that correlation of data. And as Dr. Smith has said, there's no data that indicates there is that correlation. You also have to distinguish whether there's a correlation in one versus all of those settings that we have restrictions on. Yes?
Along those same lines, is there a point to where you would say students should not go back to the classroom next school year, say if our numbers keep rising?
I think I wouldn't want to set any specific benchmark there. We look at this every day. Nobody knows today in June what it's going to be like in July, much less August. So we're well over 60 days even to August 11th. And so that's a lot of time when you're dealing with a virus. And so I'm not going to make projections on the what ifs. We're planning on going back to school. As I say, we got to manage our way through this in a safe fashion. And really virtually every state is looking at it in the same fashion. In different ways, but we're committed to it, we're proceeding with that, and I think we're going to be in a better position in August to know exactly the steps that we need to take to assure all the children are safe. Thank you all very much today.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief update on the numbers that we heard today. The state has an additional 448 new cases of the coronavirus, not a record increase for the number of single-day increase in new coronavirus cases, but very close to that. Again, 448 new cases today, bringing the total number of people who have ever tested positive for the coronavirus in Arkansas to 10,816. We have seen a total of 6 more Arkansans hospitalized for a total of 187 there. And we have seen, again, 6 more Arkansans having died from COVID-19. That brings the total number of COVID-19 patients in Arkansas who have ultimately succumbed to that disease to 171. And with that increase of 448 new cases, That brings the total number of active cases here in Arkansas, active coronavirus cases, to 3,294. And yesterday we saw that Pulaski County had the highest number of new cases, followed by Washington and Benton counties. Today we see Washington and Benton counties reclaiming that top spot again with 143 new cases from Washington County, 78 from Benton County, and 37 here in Pulaski County. And it does bear mentioning that 93% of the new cases, of those 143 new cases from Washington County, 93% of those were from the city of Springdale. And Governor Hutchinson and Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith saying that the pandemic, especially the outbreak up there in Northwest Arkansas, continues to disproportionately impact the Latino community up there. They said that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will be sending a team to the Northwest Arkansas area tomorrow to help with outreach to the Latino community and to ultimately help stop the spread of the coronavirus there. We heard that, just to illustrate that point further, Nate Smith, the state's health secretary, saying that of the active cases that were the total active cases that the state had on last Monday, June 8th, just under 30% of those were people of Latino origin. On Tuesday, June 9th, of all the people who were hospitalized in the state with COVID-19, just under a quarter of all of those people were also Latino. And again, today we heard a little bit about plans for the next school year. We heard the rollout of a new program called Arkansas Ready for Learning, which is essentially a roadmap for school districts to make a return to on-site teaching, on-site instruction by the start of the next school year, late this summer, I guess, and into early fall coming up in a few months. The plan essentially calls for school districts to have a lot of flexibility, to still have a lot of to still have the capability of instructing students online. In the case that a quick pivot from on-site instruction to online instruction would be needed in the case of a resurgence of the coronavirus in any specific school district. But we heard again that state health officials, Governor Hutchinson, and state education officials, all optimistic that K through 12 education in Arkansas can return to schools, can return to an on-site instruction form by the start of the school year. Again, you've been listening to the governor's live daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. Again, today, an increase of 448 new cases of the coronavirus to a total of 10,816. Six additional deaths from COVID-19 here in Arkansas for a total of 171 Arkansans who have died. And currently, as of today, we have 3,294 active cases of the coronavirus. Thanks for listening. This is KYR News.